Let's bring in our buddy, Dr. Arthur Kaplan, professor of bioethics at NYU. Good morning, Dr. Kaplan. How are you?
Hey, how are you?
Well, I'm not good because of the interest rates, but I know that's not your area of expertise. So, hey, one thing we touched on last week when we were talking, but we didn't have enough time to really hash through it. There's a big push for assisted suicide. And I read a really interesting article about what's going on up in Canada, because they've had it for a while. But up there now, people who are depressed or people who can't afford to pay their rent, they're trying to get assisted suicide. And the rules up there are pretty lax that they actually can do it. This has got to be concerning for people who think that, you know, when you're end of life and you're in pain and you know you're going to die, mm-hmm. yes, there's a better way to go than, you know, just being doped up on morphine until you die. But there's a slippery slope here, is there not?
There is, and you're absolutely right. In the U.S., 10 states, including New Jersey, have a form of legal, medically assisted dying. So the doctor can write you a prescription. You have to be declared terminally ill by at least two doctors. There's a waiting period. It's out there. It's available. Although, interestingly enough, Michael, very few people actually wind up using it. It's not the majority of cancer deaths or anything like that. It's probably under 1,000 in any given year in these 10 states. What people say is they like having the parachute, the pill, available, and many of them ask for the pill and keep it by the bedside but never use it. They just want to know that they could, and so in a weird way, that policy has worked out. But Canada, as you point out, is trying to expand eligibility way past terminal illness toward just suffering. And suffering's a pretty accordion-like idea, so suffering could be I got divorced, I had a bad business experience, I have to listen to Art Kaplan on the radio. I could think of many conditions right. that might cause people to suffer, and it's too broad. So they're lining up people, you know, who might have depression or might have some bad, horrible grief from losing a child or something. And the same thing has been going on, by the way, in Holland and Belgium over in Europe. There isn't a push to do that here. I don't see any effort to expand eligibility here. I do see other states. New York, for example, has a bill to do what the other 10 have done for the terminally ill. So far we're holding the line on being conservative. But yeah, it's certainly something to watch.
Hey, Doc, when 10 states have a kind of assisted suicide bill, is it kind of like the abortion issue? People will either move to that state or travel to that state to take part, or how does that work?
Yeah, that's a great question, Len. And some people do, very few, because when you're very sick, it's hard to move. You're usually terminally ill, you know, in a hospital, and you're not going to pick up and go to Jersey from Connecticut or go out to Oregon or something like that. Another reason people don't move is they want to be around friends and family and loved ones and visitors, and, you know, you right. go out there to do this. It's going to take at least a month, given the restrictions, to actually pull it off. So, yes, people do move, like with abortion, but not as much as you might think.
Hey, are we at a point in terms of medical care where you may have the end of life, but can we pretty much eliminate any pain that you might be experiencing at the end of life?
Well, happily, you know, we have a lot more availability of hospice, and that's a great initiative. It's been around probably 30 years now. A lot of people do use it, and they get not only physical pain management, but, you know, emotional support, religious intervention if they want that. And that helps, and it's turned down some of the demand for assisted suicide, assisted medical aid in dying. However, there are a group of people who basically say, if the only way you can control my pain is to dope me up, make me non-responsive, then you might as well end my life because I don't want to be that way. You know what I mean? You can manage everything, yes, but sometimes it comes at the cost of you're not really capable or conscious very much.
Hey, Dr. Kaplan, on another issue, I saw this report that there's a problem with the United States organ transplant system, long wait times, and now they're thinking of overhauling the whole system. What's this story all about?
Well, we've had a system in place for 40 years to distribute organs to people who need them, knowing that they're in short supply, and also to certify organizations in every state to ask people when a loved one dies if they're okay with organ donation. The Biden administration announced that they were going to try and update that system, and they should. There are three big problems with it. Some parts of the country, including New York State, have very poor organ donor rates. I think we're 49th out of 50 states in New York. That's been true for a long time. It's got to be improved. There are many parts of the country that do better. So we want to figure out what's going on and not just keep going to the same trough and saying, you know, well, we're still 49th. So we need to get more donations when people die. The transparency of the system isn't very good. They change rules about who gets to get an organ. That should be public, transparent, open for debate, discussion. It isn't as much as it should be, so that needs fixing. And then the actual system, you know, we have to decide how we're going to share the organs we've got. Again, they're scarce, so one of the reforms will be, are we going to try and share them regionally or nationally or use everything locally? There's a lot of fighting about that. And that's okay. We can argue about it, but we need to update the rules so that everyone in the United States has a fair chance at the supply of organs we've got. So yeah, it's out of date. The system's old. Even their computer systems are old to track what's going on. So we really do need that reform. I support that 100%.
Well, I'm an organ donor. I mean, I don't know if you want my liver. You'd wind up in a production of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, but there you are.
Well, look, one of the things that's important, and you just did it, Michael, is it's great to register when you go to motor vehicles, but you have to tell your friends and family that you want to do it, too, and that you did register, because oftentimes people just think, well, I went to DMV, and I told them I want to do this, and I'm in a computer somewhere. But your family doesn't necessarily know your wishes, and sometimes they think, I don't know, do we want to approve that, or is that something we're comfortable with? Very important you tell family and friends, partners, whoever, what your desires are.
Yeah.
Hey, we're almost out of time, Doc, but this is scary that it's such an important thing like an organ donation, and we have an antiquated system, antiquated computers. That doesn't make sense.
We do. It has not been updated. Forever, a lot of vested interest there, not wanting to change the system, and I'm really glad we're finally going to do something about it.
Important thing to have as we leave you, Dr. Kaplan, a living will. You have to have a living will so that your family, your loved ones, do know what your wishes are.
Exactly.
Dr. Arthur Kaplan, professor of bioethics. Thanks, Dr. Thanks, Kaplan. Guys. Have a great
Thanks,
weekend.
Doctor.
We'll talk to you next week. Take care. Coming up next, the New York Times. Joe, you'll love this, is rewriting the history of Jimmy Carter's presidency. Now, why are they doing this? Because it's a corrupt newspaper that is coddling liberals. That's what's going on, and that is coming up next.